We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien with our weekly Three and Out. Three sports stories related to Minnesota teams. And, well, you have one where the guy, the dad of this kid, was a terrific goaltender for the Gophers. And now his kid is a goaltender. And by the way, that goaltender for the Gophers, he's now a U.S. congressman, Rob Stauber. I didn't know. I mean, I had no idea he even had a kid that was playing. But tell us about his kid, young Mr. Stauber.
Yeah, well, I should correct you about it. So his brother, Pete, is the congressman. Rob.
Oh,
Rob,
that's right.
Pete used to, it was funny, before Pete got elected, he would be referred to as Rob's brother. And I'm not necessarily sure now when we talk about Rob, if he's referred to as Pete's brother. I don't know how that works anymore.
That's a good point. Pete, that's right. Rob is selling mattresses.
Pete was a pretty good hockey player himself at Lake Superior State. I think they won a national championship when he was playing with the Lakers there way back in the day. But so Rob, you know, was, you know, the first goalie to win the Hobey Baker Award when he was back with the Gophers, went on to the NHL. Also played in the AHL, which is, you know, one of the minor leagues. And when he was there, he scored a goal as a goaltender. It was an open net. And he just, you know, he flung the puck down and he scored a goal, right?
Yep.
Well, so here's so his son Jackson plays in the Chicago Blackhawks organization and is with the team in Rockford, Illinois, the minor league affiliate for the Blackhawks in the AHL. And just recently here, he had a shutout as the goalie, which is a good thing. But on top of that, he also scored a goal on the open net. So you had both father and son as goaltenders scoring goals in AHL games. So kind of a unique story there that they would both end up doing that. Because I've seen video, I've asked Rob before, I said, what's his style? Is he like you? And, you know, because Rob was famous, they called him Blue Line. So he'd come out to the blue line, he'd get kind of physical with guys that were coming in to score on him. And Jackson is the same way. So they very much have very similar style of play. So it's fitting that he also scored a goal.
It's very impressive, but I guess, much like when his dad played, the AHL does not play much defense. How can a goaltender should never score a goal, empty net or not. That's just,
I guess,
incredible.
Yeah, well, if the video's online and if you see the video, I mean, that's, you know, he flicks the puck down there fast enough where, you know, the other team was in his end trying to score a goal and nobody was left back and he scored a goal.
Well, good for him and, you know, Rob's kid and Pete's nephew. Good for them. Yeah, I don't know how I butchered that. Well, you know what? Rob should run for Congress. Then you have two Stauber's in. That's what needs to happen. All right, item two.
Item two, our Timberwolves go into the All-Star break at first place in the Western Conference.
Woo-hoo.
And they, you know, so they're now, you know, they've got, you know, half the season left to go, and I'm already hearing comparisons between the 2024 Timberwolves and the 2004 Timberwolves, which was, of course, the team that ended up going to the conference finals
and losing
to the Lakers.
Yep.
It's not an easy road. They've got a long road ahead here. Lots can happen, and you know they've got to play teams that have been there before, like Dallas and Oklahoma and some of those. So,
and Denver,
Denver, yep. They've got a lot of teams to go through, I think, to get there. But hey, give them credit. They, you know, finished first half of the season in first place. You know, that's not typical of our Timberwolves. So good for them, and hopefully they keep it up.
Yeah, I'm not a big Timberwolves guy. And what happened? I mean, we'll see a lot more games like what happened last night, the All-Star game, the 211-186 ending. The East win. This is what's incredible about Karl-Anthony Towns, and I mentioned it earlier. Scored 50 points, more than one-fourth, more than 25% of his team's points, and his team lost, got trounced. It's like when he scored the 62 against Charlotte. His team lost. He puts up big numbers in losing efforts.
Yep.
I don't understand this guy. I mean, I've never been a big fan of his, and I'm still not. I mean, 50 points, certainly, yes, that's nice, but it didn't come close to leading his team. It's not like they lost a nail-biter, 211-210. They got, I mean, that 211-186, that's a beating.
Yeah,
So 50 points in a beating. Good for you. Pad the numbers. That's what he pretty much did. All right. I'm not going to rip on him too much. What's item three?
Item three, another basketball-related story with your Johnnies. The MIAC conference has set their playoff seeding for the basketball tournament, and it looks like St. John's and I believe Carleton get the first round byes, and then I think Gustavus, and I forgot who else is playing, but the Johnny's gonna get the number one seed and a first round bye, and so they finished the season best in the conference, but now to get the automatic conference berth in the D3 basketball playoffs for the NCAA, they have to, it's the winner of the playoff tournament that gets the automatic seed. So Johnny's have one more hurdle to go in terms of winning in the playoff tournament to be able to get to the NCAA.
You know,
Division
III. I'm kind of mixed about that. And I know it happens throughout college basketball. You spend all season winning your league or your conference, and then if you just have a bad game, you're out. I mean, I get it that, you know, it could be mean another team's become hot and they're going to have a big run into the through the tournament, but it doesn't always mean that. I mean, there have been teams that have lost in their conference before the championship game and then went on it. It actually got them going on a national championship run. So I would
hope that even if they didn't win the playoff tournament, which I think they will win the playoff tournament. I mean, they pretty much dominated the conference this year.
Yeah.
But in the event they wouldn't, you know, they did finish first in the conference. Hopefully that would be some consideration to get one of those coveted at-large bids. You know, it's harder to do that in the football tournament.
Yeah.
Or the football playoff.
Yeah, basketball, it's a little different. Yeah, they had a heck of a regular season, no question.
Right.
Well, they're good enough. They should win this tournament. So
They should.
It could be moot. Now, I know we're taught that's three and out, but let's add a bonus to it. Your Tommies wind up beating South Dakota, which is that's a big win, right?
Well, it's South Dakota State has the better record than the Tommies. South Dakota's having kind of an off year. They're down towards the bottom of the Summit League,
but still,
it's a big. It's another big you know, moment. Yeah, both St. Thomas basketball and hockey programs this year have done well and have been competitive in their third year of Division I play. Hockey teams lost a few, and you know, Bemidji and Mankato have kind of leaped ahead of them in the standings. But with the basketball team, the basketball team has been in about third place, I think, pretty much all season, behind South Dakota State, and I think. Is it North Dakota State, I think, is the other one?
That's one of them.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's impressive in their third year of D1 that they're playing as well as they are, which is not a bad thing. Now, I want to ask you what I asked Dave Bialke from Bialke Law. You're a Vikings fan. Forget all these mock drafts. What do you want them to do? Do you want them to take a quarterback? And do you think that's what they will do?
I don't want them to. I want them to take what I would say is they're probably in a position to have to take the best player available, right?
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily. I mean, if a good quarterback is there, I think you have to take him, right? I don't want them to see what they did a couple years ago when they panicked and reached for Christian Ponder and drafted him at a higher spot than they should have, right?
Yes.
That work out for them. So I don't want them to go in thinking we need to have a quarterback. I do believe that they should re-sign Cousins, and if a good quarterback is available, they should draft him, because rather than throwing him in right away, because you're not going to get where they are sitting, I doubt you're going to get a quarterback that can immediately come in and start. But who knows, what do I know? You know, Brock Purdy was the last guy taken in the draft and he was playing in the Super Bowl. So they do need to get somebody, because, you know, the odds are, I think, if I forgot the statistic I saw someplace, that unless you have like a Mahomes or Brady, like one of the GOATs, right, or a quarterback playing on his rookie contract, your Super Bowl odds aren't great.
Well, and that's okay. That's where they are with Cousins, because he's going to cost a lot of money. He has to. If I'm the Vikings, I tell him, you know what, go see what's out there. Let us know. what your best offer is, and if you want to play here, maybe we'll match it, or maybe we'll exceed it. Because I don't think he's going to get a huge deal from someone because of the Achilles. Teams are going to be wary of that.
I think they'll be able to bring him back on a decent deal. The reason I say bring him back is everything I've read and heard is that Justin Jefferson is saying he wants him back, and they've got to get Jefferson under contract.
You know what, though? Justin Jefferson can't say, I want to break the bank, and then demand who the quarterback is. It doesn't work that way.
No, that's true. They're both going to have to, if they want to play here and play together, they're going to have to do something friendly for the salary cap.
Well, Jefferson is, I mean, I like the kid. I think he's a terrific talent, and you could put him up against any receiver in football. However, he can't be the one determining who the quarterback is, not when he wants to break the bank. If he were to say, you know what, if you could bring back Kirk Cousins, I'll leave some money on the table. But Cousins has never given any kind of a discount. He has taken absurdly high money, and what has he done? Put up gaudy numbers and never gotten them to the Super Bowl. Heck, he's got one playoff win. So it's not like he's he's knocking down the big playoff victories. So this is, a lot of it is going to determine how willing he is to work with the Vikings and how other teams look at his contract and whether they want to match it or do anything with it. All right, Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Jeff O'Brien, we'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.